time in your presence. We thank you that we can look back and give you all the glory for every soul that was saved on the trip away, Father, on the mission, Lord. Every person's, every life that was impacted, Father, we thank you that we could have gone and been a part of it, Lord. And thank you for every person that, that supported us in prayer from this side. And we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is coming, Lord, all around us, Lord. And your kingdom is advancing, that you're building your church, God. And we commit to you, every soul that was saved over there, Lord, every heart that was changed, Lord, every person that was encouraged, Lord, every word that went out, Lord, every seed that was sown, Lord. And we thank you that it will prosper in what you sent it to do, Lord. It will accomplish what you purposed it to do, Lord. And we commit it to you, and we thank you for 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit, Lord, for that word, Father. But we thank you also, Lord, that we can bring back with us those that were there an impartation, Father, of what you did, Lord, impartation of your faithfulness, an impartation of your goodness, but also an impartation, Lord, of your of a hunger and a thirst for your presence, God, a hunger and a thirst for you, God, in Jesus' name. So we commit this time to you, Father. We consecrate ourselves to you. And we, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to have your will in and through us, Lord, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We quickly this morning. The other day I was looking up some statistics about how many people do we encounter on a daily basis, and I think this probably differs if where you depending on where you live. Where I grew up in a small. I didn't grow up in a town. I grew up in an area outside the capital of South Africa, but it was quite rural. So there, if you on a daily basis, it wasn't a lot of people. Obviously, on a school day, it was more than others. But say, for instance, if you had to quickly think on a daily basis, how many people do you encounter? Okay, we've got your work colleagues. If you use public transport, maybe one or two there, depending on how full your train is. If you drive, there's a possibility that you might not encounter many. Maybe if you're speeding, yeah, you might encounter the traffic police. But it's actually, there's a lot of, apparently on average, in terms of new people that we meet, but this is probably like a very, like a big kind of generalization, we meet about 3 new people every day. And that's besides the ones that reoccur, like obviously work colleagues and maybe the same person at the ticket office or maybe the same guy on the platform next to you when you're waiting for the same train. But we encounter people and we meet new people, and it's incredible, actually, when you think about it, the opportunities that we have. And I want to start with this question this morning. With people that you encounter, whether it be somebody that helps you, serves you in a coffee shop, or somebody that sits next to you on the train, or somebody that you chat with about children. If you're a parent, you know this is weird. One of the weirdest things that happened to me when I had children is people just talk to you, just random, strange people. Especially if you have a cute baby and and they just ask you, so how old is he or she, and then they go, bless. I think, I receive it. But it's really a good evangelism tool. You know, you don't even have to be awkward about it. People just talk to you. Anyways, so I was asking myself, and this is a question I will ask you this morning. All those encounters, people that you encounter, what do you leave with them? Even if it's just a few seconds when you're paying for something, what do you give them? Well, it's not the money that you pay for the product, but what do you leave with them? Just it sounds a bit random. It will become more clear later. Do you leave something with them? So we'll think about it as we go on. When I was in the primary school, one of the guys brought to school one day a dynamo. Okay, so a small generator, and it had a little little handle, slinger, you know, a little handle that you can turn. What's a lever? Is that what you call it? A crank. Yeah. Okay. So a little crank, and you turn it, and as you turn it, it generates electricity. Right. Very cool. Lovely for little boys to play with. And the quicker you turn it, the more, the stronger the current is, okay? So obviously, we had to hold on to the little contact points and see how long you can hold on to it. And the guys, you know, turn it as far, quick as they can, and you're kind of holding on, and then it gets too much, and you let go. And we were like thinking, you know, how should you do it that it's not going to be dangerous for your health type of thing? As long as it doesn't go through your heart. So we had to, you know, think of ways, random. But anyway, so we took it a step further, and we stood in a big circle holding hands, all right? And then we see who's the weakest link. You know, nobody wants to let go because they don't want to be the first to let go. But the guys that were at the thing, I think they were taking the most of the current, but it was really, obviously, you know, there was really no danger there, because a little boy can only turn that thing that fast, but it was great fun. But there was definitely a current coming through, even when we were holding hands, even when we were a big group. And I thought that's kind of the picture I had when praying about this, is that touch that you're passing on, a little bit of current, a little bit of a spark. And that's kind of the picture that I had in terms of us having life in us and having an opportunity to pass some of it on, even if it's just a second or two that we encounter somebody, even if it's just a moment where you have what you have with somebody else. What are you leaving with that person? Are you imparting life? Are you depositing something? Okay. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I'll have to rush through it. So let's start. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. Now this is just a bit of context, but God basically brings the nation of Israel before a choice, and he's basically putting a choice before them that we have to make daily. And the bigger picture is he's giving them a choice of covenant relationship with him, or of really just kind of a survival mentality, just kind of making it, just kind of living in the here and now, living in the what we observable surrounding that we know, you know, kind of more the temporal existence. But he's saying to them, there's something else here, that you can either choose to walk in a covenant relationship with me, which includes eternal life, a greater measure of life, and a fullness of life. So let's quickly read from verse 19 there, Deuteronomy 30. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. And he goes as far as to give them a tip. So please choose life. Make the right decision. Okay. But we face this daily. Okay, we face this choice of, am I going to just exist today? Am I just going to roll out of bed and roll into my job and just drift with the current? Or am I going to walk in covenant relationship with the Almighty God and walk in His purposes and His plans? Am I going to take a hold of the life that He has prepared for me today? And a part of that means, in every one of those encounters that I have with other people, whether it be my children or whether it be my colleagues or wherever I find myself, what am I imparting to them? No, there's nobody like that here this morning. But you know, sometimes you spend time with somebody, and at the end you're like, "Sure, that was tiring." Like I said, there's nobody like that here. But maybe you know somebody like that. You know, you spend a couple of hours with them and you walk out there and you're like drained. You know, they're just taking the life out of you. And you have to go pray. You have to go get be refreshed, you know. But then there's other people that you spend time with them and you're like, hallelujah. You know, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's take on the nations. You know, let's see the kingdom come. And you walk away refreshed, and you walk away encouraged, and you've received an impartation of life. Are you with me? You know, we know people like that, people that you want to be around. You know, people that you want to spend time with. And I'm not saying I'm not saying just reject everybody else. Don't spend time with them. But I'm going to ask, what kind of person are you? Are you someone that deliberately imparts life? I think the challenge here, I just thought of this now, is that we probably, our default setting is not like that. Okay? So maybe that's the challenge, is when we're just defaulting, we're just cruising, we're probably not imparting life. We're probably just going, give me something. Like the world, what did Tien say? The world says, give me stuff and leave me alone. Okay? That's probably the default. So to be able to be one of, to be a person that is imparting life, and that is a blessing, that is, you know, leaving a blessing with people, that's going to probably be deliberate. That's going to probably be a choice that I make every day. Choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Okay, let's look at Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there's that picture of walking in this calling that we have to be salt and light, and to have that light shine, to have to be deliberate about how we go about our daily lives, to impart life and to be a blessing to those around us. now this is not a rocket science deep message, but I've really felt that there's a decision that you and I can make. To partner with God in this. Okay. All right, so let's look at, this is Jesus sending out the disciples into, to go and minister. And this is from the Amplified. He said from Luke 10:5, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this household. Freedom from all the distress that result from sin be with this family. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and blessedness you wish shall come upon him. But if not, it shall come back to you. Now, guys, this is a powerful principle. And it's funny because whenever we go on mission, it's as if because you're away from home or you're in a different country, this is as if you're more aware of this principle. And we visited some homes. Some people hosted us. And you're very deliberate in saying, I choose to leave peace here. I choose to leave a blessing here. Not only a gift, yes, we did that as well, but also just a decision to bless somebody, to leave your peace, as the scripture says. There's obviously the converse as well. You can even read the rest of it. It's a bit scary. If you choose to remove your peace, and the scripture says you shake the dust off your feet, but that's actually... Don't just do that randomly, okay? That's kind of dangerous, okay? But that the principle of deciding that you to leave a blessing on any place that you go is very powerful. And I promise you, you want to people that visit your house to do the same. Are you with me? So this is the question. What do you leave behind? What do you deposit where you've been? Have you left a blessing there? Have you deliberately said, Lord, I want to bless this house? And, you know, it's very deliberate, and there's a power that we have to bless that God has given us that we often, I think, we just kind of we're not even aware of it. Last night we visited Anna's brother, and it's always great to be with family, blood family. We've got lots of other family. But we don't see them that often. But his wife was in a terrible accident recently. She fell asleep late at night on the wheel at 70 miles an hour. And she had 2 scratches and a bruise on her arm. That car is like, if you see it, they were telling us how they went to the hospital afterwards because... She got out of the car and she was standing there on the roadside, you know, when the ambulance and stuff came. So they were all like looking at the car, looking at her, and it wasn't adding up, you know. And we got to the hospital. Now, the people at the hospital didn't have the benefit of seeing the car. Okay, so they were like, kind of attitude of have a paracetamol type of thing. And then my brother-in-law just said, let me just show you a picture, and he showed them, and they're like, you know, and then they're like, okay, let's do some x-rays and let's just do some tests, you know, because the car is a complete wreck. And, long story, but just the blessing that she survived. We went to spend time with them, and And we spent some time praying. And yeah, it was just, it was so blessed. It was such an amazing time just to trust God, because she had some anxieties for driving and stuff afterwards. And praise God, nobody else was in the car, no children. But now, you know, she's driving the children around. But the point is, we could deliberately decide, okay, we're going to spend some time blessing this family before we go. We don't get there often, but let's just decide to leave a blessing here, to pray with them, and to impart some life. Amen? This is family. So you often, even with family, actually, you sometimes miss those opportunities because you're too familiar with people. Amen? But there's a choice we make. So I want to say to you, the place where you live, the street where you live, is blessed because you are there. The company you work for, maybe they don't know it, maybe they do, they are blessed because you are there, guys. And now there are two measures of that blessing. The one is you're not even aware of it, okay, which is possible. So you are there, and the Spirit of God is with you and in you, and God's blessing is on the company, and you don't even know about it. You're just going about your business, which is fine. That's also, there's no problem. But the second level is you are aware of it, and you're deliberately imparting as much of it as you can. Okay. In other words, you're saying you're reminding God of that promise, and you calling down the blessing, and you're praying for the place, and you're imparting the life wherever you go, and you deliberately being salt and light right there, okay? So I want to throw it out there. When last did you go to work a bit early? You know, when maybe nobody or few people are there. Anoint the place. Pray. Come in. If there's nobody there that can agree with you, maybe it's time to take one of your small group guys and go there outside of hours or whatever. Find a place or find a time to go and pray. When last did you deliberately say, okay, God, I'm going to leave a blessing here. Okay, let's go on. Deliberately. So what are you leaving behind? Okay, so there's a few things that we need to take into consideration here. Is if I can impart life, there's a kind of a death. It's not like the person's going to die if I don't impart blessing to them, okay? But there's like a wrestling that happens, okay? Now, something odd happened to me the other day. Some of you might know about it. But I got a phone call from a lady that we met them at the Wimbledon Fair a year ago. And this was a first for me. We had a prayer tent at the fair. And we had some amazing ministry going on there. And this lady came with her son. And I think I came when they were about to go. So I think David or somebody prayed with them. But her son had cancer. And so they came for prayer for that. And very sad thing. A week ago, actually, Thursday, she phoned the office. And she basically, her son had passed away. So she's clearly distraught and going through massive, you know, just horrible time. And but she asked me to come and pray, because she trusts God for him to be raised from the dead. Okay. And this is a new thing for me. Okay. I haven't had the privilege. But so this is kind of, I was like, okay. And I asked her, are you in a church? You know, she said, yes, but the church where she's visiting, they don't have that kind of faith. She knows Shofar will have that kind of faith. I'm like, okay. should I take that as a compliment, you know? So she says, but no, I'm obviously there's two levels here. There's one is, okay, Lord, well, I don't know what you want to do here. The second one is just to be sensitive to what she's going through, and to kind of support and love the family as much as we can. But now it's going back and forth a bit, and we're waiting for the body to be released from the hospice morgue. So on Wednesday, David and I could go over and pray. By that time, he'd already been dead 13 days. Okay. So really a new thing for me. But now I've been wrestling, and we prayed, and we really trusted God, because God is not confused. I personally know at least two people that have prayed for dead people, and they've been raised from the dead. Okay, so God hasn't changed his mind about that. It still happens. So there's a part of me that was trusting for that, and there was a part of me to say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? How can we support this family? How can we love them? How can we minister to them? Okay. But now, as I was praying for this, this is the what I want to get to. As I was praying, wrestling and saying, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? God said, why are you stressing so much about this? Why is it such a big thing now? I'm thinking, should I fast? You know, should I? You know, we're very spiritual now. You know, what? How do you pray for a dead guy? You know, I haven't done this before. And Lord said, and Lord challenged me. What he said, firstly, he says, okay, we knew this guy was born again. Okay. So, okay, yes, for the sake of the family, and he had some children, which, you know, obviously for their sake, if he can live. Praise God, you know, that would be amazing. But he was saying, this guy has got eternal life. Why are you wrestling with me about him so much more than all the other people around you that do not have eternal life? They are just as dead as he is, but they have an opportunity still to make a choice. You know? So I was like, whoa, okay. Why am I not wrestling for my neighbor in the same way that I was stressing about praying for this guy? Obviously, you know, I'm trusting that we get to that place. Well, I call up Richard and say, Richard, let's go. Let's go to the morgue. Let's pray for some dead people, okay? Or whatever, you know. I'm trusting for that we would move in that place of the supernatural. And I believe it's going to happen, But right now, we've got dead people around us. But they have an opportunity still to make a choice for life. Amen. They can still swing. They can receive eternal life right now. So that is the thing that got me wrestling. Okay. Before we continue, I'll try and be quick. So there are two things. So either we believe what the scripture says about heaven and hell is true. Either we believe that there is an eternal destiny for us, and but there's also an eternal damnation for those that are not in Christ. Okay? Either we believe scripture, or we believe what universalists call everybody is going to be okay. Doesn't matter how you get there. You might choose one religion or another faith, or you might be a good person, or whatever way you go about it, you're going to end up in a good place. Okay? It's called universalism. If we believe that, you don't have to worry about what I'm saying this morning. Don't stress. Take a break. Go on holiday until Jesus comes again. Okay? But if we believe scripture, that there is a hell and that there is a heaven, then there's a different story. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm just quickly going to look at some scriptures around that. Will everybody be okay? Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus said to him, 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, guys, if we look at scripture. Now, this is difficult for me because I've got a couple of people in my family, in my extended family, that are not born again. Okay, so this is real for me. My parents, they've still got some way to go. But this is what Scripture says, and this is what we believe. And if this is the truth, it leaves us with a responsibility. Are you with me? Okay. Acts 4 verse 10, I'm just going to rush through this one. Let it be known to you all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. It was the guy that got healed right there. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Okay, there's a lot here, but basically he's saying there's no other way. There's no other way, there's no other name, there's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to have a relationship with him. But when we see what happened here is they somebody got healed, and then they had an opportunity to share the gospel, okay? And then these guys that are watching them are like, who are these people? They're not educated. They're like, aren't they fishermen from around the corner? And they, but then they recognize this, these guys have been with Jesus. They've been with the living Christ. Guys, if that's, if and isn't this, there's something in me that wants every person I have an encounter with realize, my goodness, this guy, is God is with him, you know? There's something else here. There's life here. I've touched this guy. There was a spark there. I've had an encounter there, and there's life here. I've received something. I've been blessed. And I want whatever that thing is. Are you with me? They recognize that these guys, this is not like the education or anything. It's not that. But they've been with Christ. They've been with Jesus. So there's an opportunity that we have. We recognize, okay, not everybody is not going to be okay. But I have an opportunity. Every moment of every day that I encounter somebody, I can choose to either impart life to them or not. We were up in Dordrecht. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but Pamela can help me from the Netherlands. We up in Dordrecht, we prayed at the Dordtse, at the, one of the big churches there where the Dordtse leerrails come from. I can tell you about that later. It was really cool. But we went to a coffee shop, and there was a lady there, and I just, as we entered in, I felt the Holy Spirit wanting me to encourage her with something. So I waited till she finished with the coffee and stuff, and I noticed she was pregnant, and I was, and the Lord just laid the word on my heart for her to encourage her, something very simple. But she was so open. And she was so blessed to receive it. And I encourage her. And basically the word is about, there are going to be some challenges, but don't worry. It's going to be okay. And she said, yeah, but she tends to worry. You know, she's a bit of a worrier. I said, well, maybe that's why God wants you to tell you. Don't, you know, just rest in him. And I could encourage her a little bit. And she was really blessed, guys. And I just realized, wow, this is like way out there. This is in Europe, you know, people have evolved beyond God. And but she was so keen. She was so open. And she was really touched. And the Holy Spirit really ministered to her. And I just realized, guys, there's so many opportunities. And that same day, we ministered to about another one or two people that we just crossed paths with. And there was impartation of life. There was a blessing that happened there. You have to go. No worries. We'll see you next week. Okay. Bless you, Pamela. Okay. So we've got opportunities to be a blessing. Okay, let me close here. Let me just go on. Okay, John 5:66-69. From that time, many of his disciples. Okay, this is key. Just before this, Jesus said some very hard things, and guys got offended, and many of them were just kind of, okay, this is enough. I'm going. This is too much. Okay, so then many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We have received the words of life. You and I, each of us sitting here, have had life-changing encounters with God. Each of us here have freely received from God. Amen? I can say that. I know you guys. Now we have an opportunity to speak those words of life to somebody else. In 1991, in a small place outside of Pretoria, in a small school, about 140 children, there was a little nerdy guy with thick glasses, like thick like this. He wasn't very popular. He wasn't very good at school or at sports or anything. But he took the boldness to invite me to an event, a Christian event. And I praise the Lord, I agreed to go. It took a little nerdy guy on the fringe, always kind of being ridiculed and stuff. It took a guy like that to take the boldness to give an opportunity for me to be saved and to invite me. And I did. I got saved that night. I'm so grateful. He had all the reason to be intimidated. I don't think I was part of the cool crowd, but I was not where he was at. He had all the reason to not to invite anybody. He had all the reasons to be maybe intimidated or afraid, but he wasn't. He makes sense looking back. He was born again, but he invited me, and I went. And guys, all of us have got people like that in our lives. People that took the time to invite us. People that took the time to speak words of life into our lives. People that trusted for our salvation. And guys, now we have that same opportunity. And I want to just throw this out there. He didn't preach at me. Okay? He didn't. I don't think he would have known how to. He didn't pray for me. Not while I was there. I'm sure maybe he did. But he just connected me. And guys, I just want to throw this out there. Church on a Sunday is primarily for unbelievers. We need to make a shift in how we think about it, how we make it work, how we make it happen. Church is not for me to be comfortable on a Sunday. Church is not for my children to be comfortable. I disciple my children at home. Church is just, it's a blessing. Sunday church is an addition to that. Amen? Church on a Sunday is for unbelievers. Okay? Maybe this is news for some. But we're going to have to just rethink how we do things. When we do encounter series, again, it's an opportunity to connect somebody with Christ. When we do a holiday club, it's an opportunity. Are you with me? When we do ministry camp, it's a massive opportunity. When we do small group, all the things that we do, guys, we do for one thing, one reason, is for souls to be saved. Because everybody is not going to be okay. Amen? Your colleagues, they're not all going to be okay. Maybe unless you work at Compassion and everybody is saved already. But my colleagues, praise the Lord, they're going to be okay. But guys, you get what I'm saying. The reason why we do these things, let us remind ourselves why we're here. Shofar is here for the nations. Shofar is here for souls. Shofar is here in this country for people to be saved. Amen? So that means when we have small group, or when we have a curry night for the guys, or when we have when we do stuff together, this actually we can break it down to some very simple reasons. But it's important for us to remember those reasons. Okay? When we do Halala Club, if we have 3 children there this year, not from Shofar, we've grown. I'm trusting for many more than 3. Okay? But each of those families, there will be opportunities to impart life to them. When we invite people to the ministry camp, to the conference, there's a whole weekend of opportunities. Guys, I'm excited. I'm excited where God is taking us. But I feel that we need to look at the opportunities that are in our hands and recognize why we are here. And grab a hold of the opportunities we have. Amen? Let's stand this morning. So I'm going to end with a scripture from John chapter 6, verse 37 to 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those in believing in him would receive. For this Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you spoke of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks, and the picture here is rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, flowing from our hearts. And guys, that's the picture I get, is we go out, wherever we go, whoever you encounter, whoever you come across, the Spirit of the living God is in you, okay? Rivers of living water can flow. But this deliberate. Yes, some of it happens like randomly. Okay, I give you that. Some of it you don't even know. The Holy Spirit is doing something. But I want to be deliberate about this thing. Paul, at the end of his life, Apostle Paul, he writes something crazy confident. And he says, I am innocent of the blood of all men. He's lived in a way that he can say with confidence that not one opportunity has gone past him. How powerful is that? I already can say I think I've missed one or two. But that encourages me to grab a hold of every opportunity. And I'm not saying you have to bash somebody with the Bible when they help you with coffee at the Costa. I'm just saying maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's a have a great day. Or maybe it's a smile. Maybe, I don't know what it is. It might be a small thing. We have new neighbors on the one side, and when they moved in, Anna made them some lasagna and some cupcakes. Those cupcakes. Now, that's going to be the death of me, but in any case, they're amazing. But just a small thing like that, it's okay, no, it's really, really delicious, but I couldn't do it. But just such a blessing, but it's very deliberate, because we want to create a platform to bless and a platform for relationship so that life can be imparted. Are you with me? So it starts with something very simple, very small. The other day we went to the storage place in town where we store some of our stuff, the church. And on the way there, I felt the Lord said, buy a cold drink, buy a Coke. Because there's this guy at the storage place that we're building a relationship with, and we're trusting for him to come to church. And just a small thing like that, and it was very hot, and I bought him an ice-cold Coke. And he was standing outside smoking when I got there, and I said, hey, you know what, I thought you might be hot, to have a Coke. And he was like, what? Who are you? What are you doing? No, he knows where I am. But I know those, I didn't even know what he thought in his head, but I know little things like that, when we respond to the Holy Spirit, are going to bear fruit someday. Amen? Little acts of kindness. We went to the Wimbledon tennis outreach, reaching out to the guys, queuing in the tents, giving them stuff for free, praying with them. Guys, powerful ministry happening there. Just because we go out to do something for somebody. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Guys, all I'm saying is we have an opportunity and we have a decision to make. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have received the words of life. We thank you, Lord, each of us here can say, God, you have changed me. You have brought me from darkness into life. You have saved me from hell. And we have received, freely we have received, God. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we choose to freely give, God, in Jesus' name. We choose, Lord, to be life givers and not life takers. We choose to be the ones that are imparting life and not taking, God, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you, Lord, and I just pray right now for each of our hearts, God. And I thank you, Lord, as we look around us, that we would recognize those that are in such need of your love, God, in such need of, maybe it's just a gesture of love and of support. Whatever it is, God, there are so many opportunities around us, God. And I thank you right now this morning that you open our eyes, God. That we again recognize why you've put us here. That we again recognize what is Sunday church all about. That we recognize whatever we're doing, what it is about, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for an urgency that you put in our heart, not out of fear, God, but out of your love, God, that we recognize that freely we have received, freely we can give, God, in Jesus' name. As we worship now, we just want to worship this one song. I just want you, where you're standing and where you're worshiping, just to bring your heart before God and just to trust God, Lord, for that shift to happen, for it, that you we'd become those that rivers of living water flow out of. Amen. Let's worship.